This is Mike Wallace, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
On first down, play action, deep left side, for Darrell Patterson! Yes! Touchdown! A 53-yard touchdown to Cordarrelle Patterson. And the Vikings offense is as hot as the Kansas City weather.
Bridgewater trailing by eight with Asiata to his right. Takes the Sullivan snap. Teddy goes on a five-step drop. Fires to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Vikings! Flag on the play. It's a Jarius Wright touchdown unofficially. First and 10. Bridgewater shotgun. Deep shot. Man there. Right side. Caught Thielen. 10-5. Touchdown! Bridgewater to Adam Thielen. It's a 44-yard hit. Bridgewater back to pass. Fade right to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! A 22-yard touchdown. The first National Football League touchdown for Charles Johnson, the former Packer.
Tre'Mon Williams could not keep up, so the speed of the young Charles Johnson showing up there.
Cordarrelle Patterson motions to the backfield, toss to Cordarrelle, turns up the field to the 40, to the 50, to the Rams 40, angles to the left of the 30, shakes a tackle at the 25, Cordarrelle Patterson back to the right, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown! That's as good as we've seen. Cordarrelle Patterson with a 67-yard rushing touchdown.
Tannehill shotgun, goes play action, looking the way of Wallace to the left, passing that way. Ball's bobbled at the two by Wallace. He caught it, reached out for the end zone. Touchdown, Miami Dolphins. Absolutely spectacular play by Mike Wallace. The ball bounced in the air. Wallace caught it, reached out for the end zone, and unofficially, it's 17-13 Minnesota. Shotgun, big blitz, fires right to Jarius Wright on the screen. Gets loose at the 15, he's to the 25-30, and Jarius Wright is loose! 30-20, game-winning touchdown! From 87 yards out, and the Vikings walk off winners!
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, ordinarily coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, but today we're coming to you from the home of Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen's weekday 9 to noon radio show. We are at KFAN talking with Paul, and we're going to talk to him about the Vikings wide receiver situation. We continue our position-by-position breakdown of the Vikings roster as we approach training camp. Today we talk about wide receivers. You heard that bevy of highlights from the wide receivers last season, put together masterfully by producer Nate Vaughn, and we hope to hear many more of those highlights this season from the man who joins us today, Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, who calls Vikings games on a weekly basis. An exciting group of wide receivers on this roster right now, Paul, don't you think?
Welcome to the fan, and welcome to the home of the Xfinity email inbox at booth at KFAN.com.
Xfinity getting a lot of love.
Xfinity, why wouldn't it? Second to none.
Correct.
Extremely excited, although I do believe if I had to go down to like the racetrack or go somewhere and make a bet on who the six receivers for the team would be, I would feel pretty comfortable identifying them.
Okay.
You know, but then somebody could come at me and say they started last season with five, and my retort would be, yeah, but that's because Jerome Simpson was suspended, and then when he came back, they kept six.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the talent of the wide receiver core. As we recently said on the Wobcast about the quarterback, specifically the second-year guy from Louisville, I can argue one through maybe five, we have the fastest straight-line core of receivers in the National Football League, and it begins in early August in Canton. And, you know, even though we won't get a large dose of the likes of Mike Wallace, we're still going to see a fair amount of Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and probably some Jarius Wright, probably a fair amount of Cordarrelle Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait, man. I'm just so excited for training camp in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, a year ago, Paul, at this time, you said it. Jerome Simpson was on the roster. Greg Jennings was on the roster. Rodney Smith was on the roster. Adam Thielen was a really cute story who we felt, you know, we felt good for him,
right?
We didn't know who Charles Johnson was. He wasn't even on the team last year at this time.
Yep.
Fast forward to what we have right now, and I think you're right. There are 11 wide receivers on the roster. And I think you could probably break it up into a group of six, all of the guys you mentioned, and then the group of five who are competing to what? Maybe surprise us and win a roster spot, unlikely but possible, but maybe fight for a spot on the practice squad. You have Devaris Daniels, Dante Foster, Isaac Frichte from the Gophers, Jordan Leslie, and Gavin Lootman. But really a crowded bunch at wide receiver, and a bunch that I think is a lot better than they were last season, and a big reason for that is Mike Wallace. The Vikings trade for him in March. Some people say he had a disappointing run in Miami, but the guy had 15 touchdowns through two seasons in Miami. So he was still able to be productive, just not in the way they were used to seeing him be productive. His yards per catch went down in Miami, even though his touchdowns went up. And I remember something you said when we were breaking down the quarterbacks, PA, is that you expect Teddy Bridgewater's completion percentage to perhaps drop a little bit in favor of the yards per attempt going up. And don't you think Mike Wallace is a big reason for that?
Well, I think it will, and I think it definitely will with Teddy. And with Wallace, 15 touchdowns over 2 years is okay, but it's not his fault that he played with a quarterback who really struggles to stretch the field. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can make a Bridgewater-Ryan Tannehill-type comparison to a certain extent where, you know, Tannehill, a converted wide receiver, pretty good runner when he puts his mind to it. Same with Teddy. When Teddy decides to run, he's pretty good. So maybe Tannehill ran Wallace out of some routes, Wallace had 10 touchdowns last year. Now 9 were inside the 20, and I think he got 2 against us. Definitely got 1, and it was a spectacular catch by the sidelines.
Against Xavier Rhodes. He had 2 touchdowns against us.
Yeah. So the thing about Mike is it just burns with him from what I understand, and you can use him all over the field. But in Miami, it's not Mike Wallace's fault that Ryan Tannehill's deep game is not requisite of Mike Wallace's skill set. Mm-hmm. And it quite honestly is not close to that of Ben Roethlisberger. And I think off our most previous Wobcast about Teddy, I think we would concede that Teddy identifying the deep game and sticking it down the field in single coverage, that needs to be part of the next step for Teddy Bridgewater.
When the offseason program concluded, I had 22 observations from what we had seen over the last 10 weeks, and one of them was that everyone is impressed with Mike Wallace, and I think you got a taste of that as well. No matter who you talk to at Winter Park, they're going to tell you good things about what Mike Wallace has done. Here's a collection of sound that we've collected. People at Winter Park and what they think of Mike Wallace.
What you've seen of Mike Wallace, do you think he's going to be the addition, the guy you want? Wide receiver.
Well, I know he's a dynamic receiver, and he's been doing a great job of working. You know, he's a guy that does a lot of he works very, very hard. He's been catching the ball well. He's been learning the playbook. You know, so all these things are all different for him, but he's looked good.
What's the process like for just getting on the same page with Mike Wallace, a veteran guy, a new face coming in here? How do you kind of build a rapport with him?
Well, you just have to continue to put the time in. You know, there are days where we stay behind and we complete passes. We work on routes that we may have ran in practice that day. You talk about Mike Wallace now. He's over there on the jug machine catching passes now. So, you know, it's just putting in that little extra work, you know, that's going to help you the next day. And then you do it that next day, and it's just going to continue to help you.
You know, last year, me being a young guy, kind of had a fresh slate with the receivers. So those guys accepted me with welcoming arms. And plus, I had a group of veterans in that room. So now you shift, fast forward to this year, you bring in Mike Wallace, who's a savvy veteran also, and he's a pretty exciting player to be on the playing field with at the same time. But he brings some leadership to this team, to that wide receiver room. And, you know, for me, it's easy, you know, for me to apply some of my leadership skills to him because, you know, we both have the same understanding, both have the same mindset, which is to win.
You said you dope one across the middle. In minicamp, you know, like, I mean, is that how much effort he puts forth every day?
Yeah, you love to see that from the guys, but I could have did a better job and made it less painful for him.
How does Mike Wallace look so far?
Mike looks really fast, really fast.
And good he's double getting, move guy?
I don't know, he needs a double move.
Really?
He's getting really a feel for our offense. He's a very smart guy. He moves around the field. We had a blitz period yesterday, and first four plays, he caught 4 balls. So he caught them from 4 different positions. So he's a guy that, you know, is a veteran guy that's very smart, very fast, and we're working hard to, you know, find out what he does best right now and then give him a chance to improve in some other routes.
I like Mike Wallace. He's, you know, he's got some fire, and he comes up to me all the time and say you can't stop me today and stuff like that. And I like those guys that are competitors. And he works extremely hard. I think he's developing a good relationship with everybody on the football team, not just Teddy.
The last thing on Mike Wallace, PA, he's not just run go routes with Mike Wallace and chuck it up to him down the field. I think Norv can use him in the screen game.
Well, I think you can use him all over the place. Like I said, for him to have 9 of 10 touchdowns inside the 20, that means he's quick twitch inside the 20. And he's not a 4-3 guy who just runs straight down the field like Torrey Smith and you throw it up and say, hey, mm-hmm. What's going to happen? The thing, you know, off the sound we just heard about Mike Wallace, I think the thing that's impressed me most about him is, you know, he's been in some big spots with Ben Roethlisberger, one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and football immortality, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then he goes to Miami. You're living in South Florida. That's where every player wants to play, in Florida or Texas, for multiple reasons, some having to do with state income tax or lack thereof, or just cool places to live.
Sure.
Well, he was there. He was in Florida. He was in South Florida for a non-playoff team, yet a very cool vibe, the Miami Dolphins. Now he comes here, you know, where reportedly he had an opportunity to come here before and didn't necessarily want to come to Minnesota, either because he didn't trust the quarterback situation, didn't like the weather. He didn't necessarily burn to come here, so we signed Greg Jennings. With Mike now, he is antithetical to ripping the state, ripping the weather. Yeah. He loves the quarterback. And at this stage of his career where he knows he has some juice left, he's excited to have the best running back with whom he's ever played as the play action guy. And I think Mike sees, okay, I got a cool deal and they're going to pay the rest of it, but I'm going to make even more money and win even more games because of this running back and this quarterback. So it all works together. I'm really, really excited Mike Wallace is on this team.
Yeah, I am too. And I think he feels like he has something to prove to people who criticized him, and he still has the ability to do that. And I think that's part of why he's excited too. Another guy who plays like he has something to prove is Charles Johnson. Let's go numerical. Number 11, Mike Wallace, into number 12, Charles Johnson. What do you expect from Charles Johnson this year? Flash in the pan last year or legitimate guy for us this year?
No, I think he becomes closer to a big timer than a bust.
Sweet.
I loved how he worked in the offseason. He was on the grind every single day. He's built up his upper body. I think he might have put on 15 to 25 pounds. He's a lot bigger. The sneaky thing about Charles is I think he was a little more banged up and nicked up last year coming off a significant knee injury when he was with Cleveland than he let on or people knew. He's completely healthy now. He's very fast. And again, with Wallace and Johnson and these others you're going to mention, I can argue if you want to line them all up at Canterbury Park and run down the stretch,
yeah,
I'll bet my guys when it comes to a 440 or a 100-yard dash, a quarter horse race, because our guys are fast. Charles is very fast. Charles has a knack. We saw it last year, I think, because Cordero struggled so much with it, and then Charles came in and it was so natural,
mm-hmm,
that Charles just has the natural ability to make catches in stride. And he got a big opportunity last year. He's going to be even better this year.
A guy who kept making big plays, Paul, at Winter Park during OTAs and minicamp, Stephon Diggs. Vikings take him in the fifth round. They had 10 draft picks, and it's not that they were set at wide receiver and they didn't have to take a wide receiver, but wide receiver was a position they could have not taken in the draft, yet they saw fit to take a wide receiver from Maryland named Stephon Diggs. What did you think of him during the offseason program?
Wouldn't have been in the fifth round had he not battled through a lacerated kidney, from what I understand, in his final year at Maryland. In fact, he played in a game with said kidney. Quarterbacks coach Scott Turner has known Stephon Diggs since he was 15 years of age.
Mm.
It goes back to when Scott was on the Pitt Panthers staff, and they started looking at kids seriously as freshman or sophomore in high school, and they wanted to recruit him to Pitt, and I think for whatever the reason he chose Maryland, and then Scott went to the Carolina Panthers. So the Turners have been on Stephon Diggs for quite some time. They're extremely fond of his personality type. With Stephon, I saw him blow up at rookie camp and get the best of Trey Waynes, and I saw him represent himself well at minicamp, and I'll conclude my conversation about Stephon Diggs by saying our offensive coordinator, Norv Turner, is in love with the skill set that is Stephon Diggs. And if he is, I am.
Right. And Norv Turner was that way with Charles Johnson. That seems to have worked out. So if he's that way with Stephon Diggs, I'm with you. I am as well. All right. Jarius Wright, Paul, think about this. Of all the players who returned to the Vikings from last season, Jarius Wright is the Vikings leader
in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. Think about that. I mean, for a lot of people, he's an also-ran. You say, yeah, we have Cordarrelle Patterson, we have Charles Johnson, and now we have Mike Wallace. You forget about Jarius Wright, but the guy was productive for us last season.
Yeah, he always has been. I remember when wide receivers coach George Stewart was set to draft Jarius and his teammate Greg Childs. And Greg was coming off a significant injury or injuries. And I think George and some members of the staff liked Jarius more than Greg, even though Greg was more highly touted. And Jarius has been a meat and potatoes guy here who's very scrappy in the run blocking game. Too much time for Teddy Bridgewater. When he scored his first touchdown rushing at TCF Bank Stadium in the Falcons game, watch that playback. It's all Jarius.
Wow, really?
It's all Jarius for the final, I'm going to guess, 10 to 15 yards. Just beautiful blocking. Jarius is scrappy. Jarius is never going to be a max contract guy, but he's going to be a guy that stays in the NFL for 10 to 12 years if he wants to. Fits beautifully on this team.
And I've heard you explain it before, and you do it quite well. I think because he's diminutive and he's short, people think he's just a slot receiver, but not the case, right?
No, in fact, he did play more slot last year towards the end of the year, from what I understand, than he was early, because the Cordarrelle Patterson thing last year kind of jacked some things up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they were all set with Adrian in the backfield to use Cordarrelle wide, and then Adrian's gone, Cordarrelle goes into the tank, and now Jarius has to go back inside or play a little outside. But you can use him all over the place. He does have the slot build, like a Lance Moore, Wes Welker, Brandon Stokely, but you true prototypical slot bodies. But he wasn't in the slot when he beat the Jets last year. And when they went to a screen outside and John Sullivan got a little chip on Marcus Wilkerson. And then we saw Jarius Wright's 4-4 at the end of not only a game, but in an overtime where it's freezing and everybody's tired and they couldn't catch Jarius Wright, man. Right. That was a fun game.
Yeah, he turned the Jets on. Muhammad Wilkerson. But he made him feel like Marcus Wilkerson, right? Yeah, whoever that is, right?
I think it's somebody who's going to be taken in the second round of the NBA draft by the Orlando Magic.
Right, okay. So,
and he plays with Emmanuel Mudiay in China.
And he's probably not a very good tackler. Yeah, so that's what John Sullivan made him feel like.
That's why
like.
Sullivan got him.
Right. Adam Thielen, you know, I mentioned earlier at the top, a guy who last year we just felt good and warm about, and you just feel good. Everyone likes that guy. He's from Minnesota. He's one of us, and he's going to make the team. And it's he's actually a good football player who can do a lot of different things for the Vikings. And let's not put the cart before the horse and give him a spot already on the roster. He's got to earn it at training camp. But, I mean, the guy can play. I had an assistant coach tell me that he was one of the more impressive players in the OTA workouts and at mini camp. So Adam Thielen, the guy just continues to stick around, and he's really earned a spot.
I think he's an absolute cinch to make the team. I'll say he's a cinch, and it's because of his special teams prowess and the fact that it was proven last year when he had injuries, you could put Adam in the game and move the ball with him. Adam's deceptively fast. You know, I mean, if you line them all up again, he might not win the race, but he's going to be right there, and he's part of that top five receiver core I'm talking about that straight line-wise I think is the fastest in the NFL. The thing about Adam is you plug him into any situation and you will get absolutely every single thing he has. And he's never going to be the guy in the film room that's like, excuse me, what'd you say? Yeah. He's always ahead of the curve. And Adam Thielen will last quite some time in the National Football League playing and acting the way he does now.
Before we wrap it up, we have to talk about Cordarrelle Patterson. We haven't talked about him much yet. And obviously you can't talk about the Vikings wide receivers without mentioning him. So, you know, I want to kind of tee this up for you to set the stage for Cordarrelle going into his third season, but I'm going to provide a little bit of context first. I think that he's poised to improve dramatically from last season. Going into his third season, this will be the first time in four seasons where he will play in the same offense this year as he did the previous year. I think that's a big deal for him. I think it's a big deal that Adrian Peterson is back, because I think Norv can set Patterson up to succeed based on what Adrian does and based on what the defense is predicting will happen from Adrian. So I think that's a big factor. And another thing is, for a lot of receivers, the third year is the year. A couple of stats. If you compare Cordarrelle Patterson to Demaryius Thomas and to Roddy White, in their first two seasons, Cordarrelle Patterson, more receptions than Roddy White and Demaryius Thomas, more touchdowns than Roddy White, and more yards than Demaryius Thomas. Third seasons in the NFL, Demaryius Thomas, 91 catches, 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns. Roddy White, 83 catches, 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns. I'm not going to put Cordarrelle on those type of big numbers because we have Adrian Peterson here and we have a bunch of other good receivers, and the ball has to be shared among all of them. I'm just saying the book is not written yet on Cordarrelle Patterson. What say you?
Well, the thing about Norv Turner is when he gets to run the offense he wants to run, it's three wide with a single set and a tight end, or it's four wide with a running back, and a tight end is one of the slot guys.
Okay, yep.
That's what Norv wants to do. So if you, and that's first and 10, third and 6, second and 18, whatever, there's room in that for Cordarrelle Patterson. My take on Cordarrelle is, yes, he will be better than last year, because he was awful last year with all due respect, and he got benched, is that he's going to play more than people think. And I want to see Cordarrelle come out of the backfield like he did in the Rams game last year. And I want to see him run deep routes. I don't want to deal with hearing either on or off the record the negativity about his route running being too short, too long. He doesn't get the intermediate concepts. He doesn't get the comebacks and stuff. Then if he doesn't get it, don't do it. Okay, with all due respect to a guy who's won the Super Bowl two more times than I'll ever sniff. If he's fast and good deep, then let's do that. And if he's got some trick to him wide with the bubble screen like we saw in the offense when he was a rookie or out of the backfield, let's do that. That's his bit. We got, who do we have to catch the ball? Mike Wallace, Charles Johnson, Kyle Rudolph, maybe Mycole Pruitt, Jarius Wright, maybe Stephon Diggs. Jerick McKinnon out of the backfield. We have plenty of guys to catch the ball.
Right.
Okay, with Cordarrelle, let's just make sure every single time he's put in a spot to do what he does extremely well. And I don't think it's short or intermediate type stuff, the complex routes. I think it's deep, and I think it's a trick short, and I predict he plays more than 20 plays a game initially early in the regular season.
And I think the good news with Cordarrelle is now when Norv is deploying him, I mean, last season for 15 games after Adrian was gone following week one, if Cordarrelle was going in motion, everyone in the world was guessing jet sweep.
Couldn't
and
it
was covered up. Yeah. If Cordarrelle's in the backfield, everyone knows it's a pitch to Cordarrelle. I mean, it was so predictable. With Adrian in the game now, it becomes less predictable and you can do more of those things. I think that's going to be a big deal for Cordarrelle as well.
I think one thing that bugged me last year doing the 9 to noon show on The Fan was when Cordarrelle was struggling and there was no Adrian Peterson, and I would formulate that take very early in the season about how badly Cordarrelle Patterson misses Adrian Peterson. Mm-hmm. The Rubes, our fan base, were so frustrated with Cordarrelle and pissed off at Adrian that they would come at me and be like, okay, well, I mean, then how come Charles Johnson doesn't miss him? How come Greg Jennings does? But, well, because they're different types of receivers, okay? Charles Johnson and Greg Jennings run better routes than Cordarrelle Patterson and probably always will. Likewise for Jarius Wright. Likewise for Adam Thielen. Maybe Stephon Diggs this year. But that you there's room for you in the NFL. Percy Harvin did not run great routes, okay? How many times outside of a game at Lambeau Field do you remember Percy Harvin getting loose with big, deep plays?
Right,
it never happened.
Right.
Percy was not a good route runner. But nevertheless, there was room for Percy Harvin to win Rookie of the Year. There's room for Cordarrelle's skill set. It just needs to be used with a dynamic running back on the roster, and you just have to mix it in.
Okay. Superlatives out of this wide receiver group. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Vikings wide receiver who would make the best co-host on the 9 to noon show.
I would say that would be Mike Wallace because he's been to handling school all the way to the top. He's been to South Beach, and I think when Mike loosens up, he's got some good stories to tell.
Okay. Vikings wide receiver with the best smile.
That's a great question, Wabi. I would say that would be either Adam Thielen or Cordarrelle Patterson.
Vikings wide receiver most likely to be the coach's pet.
Well, it could be Cordarrelle Patterson because they've had to put so much time into him. I'm going to say it's Stephon Diggs because, again, the Turner family has known him since he was age 15.
All right. To go 10-6, the Vikings wide receivers must?
They must stay healthy. But if they don't stay healthy, I think there's some good depth there. And I think they need to complement Bridgewater as much as Bridgewater needs to get the ball to them.
We go 6-10 and things go the wrong way if the Vikings wide receivers...
If the Vikings wide receivers, I don't think we can go 6-10. So
awesome.
There's no way to answer the question.
I love that. That's
we're
a great
not,
way
we're
to
not
end
going
it.
6-10. That's absurd.
All right.
We won 7 games last year with distractions galore, a first-year head coach, a rookie quarterback, and we still went 7-9, please.
All right.
I mean, let's start the conversation around 10-6 or maybe 11-5, and then I'll come back.
We'd love to hear that. All right, everyone. Thanks, Paul, for joining us talking wide receivers. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Wobbskull. Always a pleasure to be on the Wobbcast.
All right. Well, we're going to have you again for sure. That's going to do it for this episode of the Wobbcast. We thank you for listening, and we encourage you to continue continue to check us out because our position-by-position breakdown of the Vikings roster leading into 2015 Verizon Vikings training camp will continue. Lots more to go. We got to get into the defensive backs. We'll probably ask Paul to help us out with that as well. For Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, and producer of the Wobcast, Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Thank you for listening. Catch you next time.